Can you give me a backstory of how you got involved in women's fertility treatment and women's health, and kind of like where that passion arose from?
Well, that's a good question. I've been practicing Chinese medicine for over 20 years now, and what got me into Chinese medicine was as I became a father really young in life, and I feel like I was a really devoted dad, and I had a lot of young parents in my life, and for me, like we had a little too much excessive fertility at the time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't planning to have a child, but because of that, like when my friends started having children much later, like I had already gone through a lot of the journey already.
Mm-hmm.
So my friends would ask me like, man, we're this is the challenges we're having. This is, these are the like, we really want to have a baby and we can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied with a Taoist master named Lily Su, and she in outside of Honolulu, and she was really famous. She was a generational Chinese master, so like her lineage went back, you know, dozens and dozens upon dozens of generations of practicing Chinese medicine. And she was amazing at treating women's fertility, like women who been trying to get pregnant for years and couldn't get pregnant. And she said I had a certain knack for treating certain things, and she would send me these fertility patients. Yeah, I think maybe it's partially just because I had a baby at the time, and just like there's such a deep longing for women who are trying to get pregnant and can't to be around babies.
Mm.
And so like there was this sort of resonance, I guess, this connection. And Lily Su would actually go out, we shared this, I've always been a botanist and an herbalist.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would go out with me and we would go harvest herbs from the neighborhoods, from little Chinese and Filipino ladies' yards, and then she would bring them back to the clinic and she would help have me make formulas. Very similar to the bulk pharmacy that we have now at the clinic, like we have herbs that, you know, that I've harvested myself. We have, and we have a full Chinese pharmacy. So there's this sort of integration. But I think, you know, the whole concept of like infertility, it's almost like a big black box or a big tag that they put on somebody who's not getting pregnant. Where it's in the Chinese medicine, infertility is not usually diagnosed.
Right.
What's diagnosed is some sort of imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's blood deficiency, maybe there's qi deficiency, maybe there's an imbalance between the organs.
Mm-hmm.
So in Chinese medicine, it's always a question of imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm in my late 40s, you know, I've been practicing Chinese medicine for so long that a lot of my young friends have all gone through the fertility journey, and some of the ones who have waited a longer time, which is becoming more and more common for women to push off having kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true for you and me. That's true for a lot of women out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them have had a difficult time getting pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's sort of, to me, the passion comes from seeing my friends happy and seeing
mm-hmm.
members of my community happy who've been trying to get pregnant for a long time and haven't, and then have babies.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing those babies and those young children and now teenagers and young adults.
Wow.
In the community, and like knowing that I was part of their journey that way.
Yeah.
Is super rewarding.
I bet. And I mean, you've had years of watching what works and what doesn't work in yourself and everybody around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And frankly, like the knowledge about treating, like 20 years ago when I started practice, you know, there was, and you know, 25 years ago when I started acupuncture school, there was very little English language Chinese medicine books on anything.
Mm.
you know, there was a handful. And now there's a lot of like fertility specialized education. So the advancement, like sometimes people think like Chinese medicine is thousands and thousands of years old, and so it doesn't change much. But Chinese medicine actually at its leading edge is a very quickly evolving medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And the knowledge of how to treat fertility is continually evolving.
Yeah.
And also, you know, 20 years ago, you know, it was relatively rare for fertility patients to come in.
Yeah.
What
do you think that difference is?
I think partially it is like women were having children younger. There was a cultural
mm-hmm.
piece. But also I think there is a lot more persistent toxins in our environment now,
mm-hmm.
Particularly endocrine disrupting toxins,
okay.
Like things that basically disrupt the hormones. So everything from, you know, Roundup, which we know
mm-hmm.
Disrupts estrogen, which is, you know, all over our food supply,
right.
to things that decompose and plastics that mimic hormones,
yeah.
also mimic estrogenic hormones, to women being on birth control for really long periods of time, or IUDs for long periods
right.
of time. So the amount of sort of challenges to a woman's hormonal system is at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
And when you combine that with women choosing to be older before they have children
mm-hmm.
because they're choosing to pursue their career or just taking longer before they're settling down and wanting to live their life before they have children,
mm-hmm.
Their bodies, it's natural for our bodies to lose fertility over time,
mm-hmm.
but we're seeing that decline happening a lot more rapidly.
Yeah, there's a lot more stressors for women nowadays.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I think just our culture as a whole, like the level of stress on us, particularly cognitive stress,
mm-hmm.
you know, we might have less stress around like food security or safety than maybe
mm-hmm.
they did, except, you know,
yeah.
in my grandparents' or great-grandparents' time. But there's more cognitive stress in the fact that like emails and cell phones just make our brains constantly on. And when our brains are constantly on, we produce more cortisol, which the stress hormone, which blocks a lot of other hormonal function. You can think of the hormones like messengers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have too many messengers, you know, trying to get to the leadership, then sometimes the message gets lost.
Mm, that makes sense. So how has because I know with a lot of the herbs, like Freya, it's kind of based off of ancient formulas. Have those changed now? Have you kind of changed treatment in that way to deal with like more of like the nervous system
yeah.
stressors versus
yeah,
just blood? And
yeah, the Chinese herbal formulas a lot of times have shifted over time. I find that a lot of times we don't use as heavy dosage as some of the ancient recipes. But a lot of like the formulas we're using were from like the heyday of Chinese medicine, at least publishing wise, like 1700s, 1800s. So they're not thousands of years old.
Okay.
But these formulas have all just bared true to clinical practice over time.
Mm-hmm.
And not just myself, but other acupuncturists
mm-hmm.
who do a lot of fertility work.
Awesome. So would you recommend this form of treatment with the acupuncture and the herbs? Does it have to be, I mean, it can be used in conjunction with other fertility treatments. Do you recommend it as an alternative, or is it kind of whatever the woman is desiring?
I practice integrative medicine, so
mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer of getting your blood work and your lab tests and, you know, sometimes ultrasounds if there's potential of, like, reproductive abnormalities of some sort. So I'm a firm believer of using all the tools of Western medicine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times women go right from a diagnosis of infertility to wanting to go to assistive reproductive technologies. And Chinese medicine actually works really well in concert with these assisted reproductive technologies, and that's actually where the biggest press around Chinese medicine and acupuncture comes in, is there's a lot of data showing that when people do acupuncture along with these assisted reproductive technologies like IVF or IUIs, that their percentage of success increases rapidly, sometimes like 20 to 50%.
Wow.
And so if you're paying, you know, $28,000 for an IVF procedure and you can get, you know, 20 to 50% better outcomes, you know, for seeing acupuncture for, you know, a handful of visits, a very good investment. And the Western endocrinologists and reproductive specialists are a lot of times the ones sending me patients.
Wow, okay.
And so that is a, you know, that is a place where we're on the same page. I think where I feel like I'm not on the same page is that a lot of times women go right from that infertility diagnosis where their AMF or hormone levels or ovarian reserves looks low, and they want to go right for the assisted reproductive technologies, particularly if they're in their late 30s, early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if a woman sees me first before she sees the fertility specialist, Western doctors, I'll usually say, do Chinese medicine for 3 months.
Yeah.
Because really we want to get these hormones balanced first, and then if you can get your cycles regular, get the hormones balanced, and then you go through IVF, your chances are a lot higher of going through that process successfully.
Mm.
I don't say don't go to IVF. I say
right.
Do Chinese medicine for 3 months first, then go see the Western doctor. And and just over clinical practice, that really bears out.
Mm.
And it's heartbreaking to see women go through the immense stimulation of the artificial technologies that, you know, boost fertility, you know, because you're using a lot of hormonally super boosting drugs to sort of super boost your hormones to make you super ovulate.
Okay.
And these are very sort of imbalancing features. And if you start from an imbalanced place, like it can be difficult, not only on you, but the baby. And at the worst end, like, you see miscarriages. And you see miscarriages quite regularly with IVF. And, you know, having sat with women and held hands and passed the box of tissues and, you know, cried with them, like, you know, losing a baby after you've went through all that effort is heartbreaking.
I can imagine.
And so you can think of, like, Chinese medicine as, like, insurance.
Yeah.
You know.
And I can imagine, I mean, even just psychologically, when you tell, you know, I'm adopted, actually, and my parents went through this being told that they couldn't have children.
Uh-huh.
And they tell us the story of just how depressing and heartbreaking it was to hear that you couldn't do what you were supposed to be designed to do,
mm-hmm.
you know? And after they adopted me and my older brother, they ended up conceiving my younger brother. You
yep.
know, all the
that's
stress
that,
was
that,
off.
That's not uncommon.
Yeah.
I've had multiple patients, you know, come see me and, you know, go through the IVF procedure,
mm-hmm.
get pregnant, but we've developed a relationship,
mm-hmm.
And they continue to see me for wellness care afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, 2 years later, you know, and the woman might be in her early 40s,
yeah.
not expecting another baby, and they have like the miracle child,
right?
You
right.
know,
so I can see how it'd be important to maybe start in a place where the viewpoint is that it's in an imbalance. It's not that something is wrong with you necessarily, you
yeah.
know, and that I think Western medicine often puts these labels on things and it makes people feel as if they're broken when in fact, you know, it's just this imbalance that can be fixed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so much of that imbalance can sometimes be like, how am I handling stress? And sometimes
mm-hmm.
the process of trying to get pregnant when you're having a hard time is sort of stressful in itself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, puts a lot of stress on the partnership, puts a lot of stress on the connection,
mm-hmm.
and puts a lot of stress on the hormonal system.
Mm-hmm.
And when the body is stressed, it sends that stress signal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, acupuncture has the amazing ability to really relax people at a really deep level, at a level that of relaxation that most people don't experience anywhere else in their lives. Maybe after Shavasana, after a really strong yoga class, but otherwise, like, people's nervous systems usually don't unwind that much as they do in acupuncture.
And so do you also work on the men when a couple comes in for this? Is this something that you kind of just focus on the women with, or is it also, I mean, powerful, I would imagine, to relax the man as well? You know, it's a dual journey.
Yeah. I would say to a certain extent, the man being relaxed is less is less necessary because his hormone system is not as in play. But the man's fertility, his sperm morphology, his sperm count, like the health of his reproductive vigor is super important in Chinese medicine. And that's actually a place that Chinese medicine excels because, you know, Chinese medicine is a really old medicine, and because of that, you know, you have the cultural misogyny of these older cultures in there, and Chinese medicine traditionally was mostly treating, like, upper-class older men. So a lot of the, you know, knowledge of Chinese medicine is to treat vigor and fertility in men. So that it's a very, like, traditional place to, there's a lot of knowledge on how to sort of support the male's fertility, because in Chinese culture, like, having sons, having children was like the ultimate treasure, you know. It was how wealth, especially in peasant families, how wealth got preserved. By having lots of sons. So it's very important culturally. But gynecology and Chinese medicine was, you know, they had specialized gynecological texts in Chinese medicine thousands of years ago, like written text, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years before there was ever a Western gynecological text. You know,
that's
so
amazing.
So there's a long tradition of treating fertility in Chinese medicine.
So what can a woman expect when she comes to get in a session with you for fertility?
Well, we'll do a full health history and a workup, and we ask what's called traditionally the 10 questions, which are not just about fertility, but how your sleep is, how your digestion is, what your menstrual cycle is doing, all sort of particular questions about that give us insights into your health. We'll even ask you about what your parents' health is like. And we'll read your pulses, which gives us a sense of what's sort of going inside the body, and we'll look at the tongue, the coating of the tongue. And together with all that, we put together a pattern. And in Chinese medicine, these patterns are really important. Just sort of like if you were a backcountry skier, understanding the different patterns in the snowpack, or if you were a fly fisherman, seeing the different patterns of the water, or if you're a stock market trader, seeing the different patterns in the stock market. All these complex systems create patterns. And Chinese medicine says that if you can identify the pattern correctly, you can treat it correctly, and you can bring the body back to balance.
Okay.
And this pattern language, this pattern recognition of Chinese medicine has been developed over thousands of years, and it's incredibly elegant and beautiful. And not all acupuncturists spend a lot of time on pattern recognition. There's a lot of acupuncturists who are really skilled musculoskeletal practitioners who focus less on pattern recognition and focus, or maybe more focused on the patterns in the musculature.
Okay.
You know? But in Chinese medicine, has this way of looking at the pulse and tongue, and traditionally practiced mostly by herbalists, but also by acupuncturists, is looking at these deeper patterns. What is the pattern that makes up a person? You know? So two different people could be infertile, and one person could have cold hands, low back pain, and knee issues, and maybe occasional tinnitus, and then another person can be have loose stools on the first day of her menstrual cycle, have a tendency to put weight around the belly, tendency to go overweight, a craving for sweet things, and they might have the exact same Western diagnosis, you know, of say their AMH is off and their FSH is off. And so like in Western medicine, they might lump them in the same category. But in Chinese medicine, if we look at these patterns, they would be treated completely different. And so I think that's where the beauty of Chinese medicine is. So, and depending on the patient, a lot of times we'll look at other things too, like diet, relationship, lifestyle things. Like, we can't underplay those things.
Right.
I like to say with my patients, if, you know, I see you once a week or once every 2 weeks, I'm seeing you, you know, 1% of the time. What's happening in the other 99%? So a lot of times we'll make lifestyle recommendations, and depending on the incentive and the desire of the patient, sometimes we make those really quickly and strongly, and sometimes we take them gently over time. You know, one of the things that my project Freya, I'm really excited about, is that a lot of times women don't come see me until there's a problem. You know, they finally met the guy, you know, and they're in their head, they're ready to have a baby. Say they're 38 years old. They've been on birth control since they've been on, since they've been 16. So they've been on birth control for 22 years. So for 22 years, we've been telling these messengers, oh, don't go down that hallway, you know, don't send that message, you know, don't send the message to have a baby, you know, ignore that message. And, you know, they've been stressed out, overworked. Some of them are, you know, athletes who overtrained, you know, but then they meet the guy and they love this guy. You know, their heart opens up and they're like, I want to have a baby. But like, the messengers are not sending the right message yet, you know. So it's not that they're infertile, it's just that there's an imbalance there. The right message has to get through to the body again. And what I love about Freya is Freya's not is designed for women who want to get pregnant, but it's also designed for women who are on birth control and who are in their, say, early to mid 30s, who are like, oh, I realize I'm stressing my body out a little bit. My cycles are a little irregular. I have a lot of challenges with my menstrual cycle. I get really bad breast tenderness. Like, when I'm on my period, like, you know, it feels like the end of the world. And I'm cramped up in bed with a hot water bottle. Like, if your body's sending you that signal already, like, you're already, correct messages are not going through in your body. So if you can treat that when you're in 30s and get nice, easy, regular cycles. And if you have an easy, regular cycle and your male partner is fertile, like, that's like 80% of the battle. You know? And so, but if you don't have that and then you're expecting to get pregnant when the day you get off birth control, and like, so, like, I've treated a lot of like really world-class female athletes in Boulder. And some of them are like, okay, yeah, I got off birth control. And I'm like, when's the last time you had a menstrual cycle? And they're like, oh, I haven't had a menstrual cycle since I started training triathlons 3 years ago. I'm like, oh, well, that's a problem. You know? So sometimes it's understanding the patterns, but also understanding the conditions. But on the bigger level is if we can treat it earlier, you know? If women in their 30s work on their fertility, in their early to mid 30s, then in their late 30s, it's just maintenance. You know?
And so that kind of leads more into like the women wellness side of women can come in here and get treated just to like maintain a rejuvenated and healthy womb space.
And the nice thing about our clinic also too is, you know, we have, you know, psychotherapists, relational therapists, midwives, abdominal massage practitioners, body workers, rolfers. So like, if there's something else out of balance, you know, that And this is a whole ecology, and this is why a integrative clinic works really well. If something else is out of balance in the ecology, like I can knock on someone's door down the way and say, hey, can you see, can I make, have my patient ask you some questions and make contact with you because they might need some additional support.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's just about getting support at the right time when you need it.
Yeah. Awesome. So if you could say one thing to the woman struggling to make a family, what would it be?
Just one thing.
Have a good evening, guys. We'll go home.
Okay, good night, Tom. I could say one thing, I would say, trust your body.
Mm.
Listen to your body. Your body is smarter and wiser than you give her credit for.
Yeah. Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
Mm. Is there anything else you want to say about what you're doing?
No, that's great. That was super fun.
Okay.